following sermon was delivered at the 10:30 worship service at the United Methodist Church of Kent. Please enjoy.
The sermon this morning is a continuation of a sermon series entitled Navigating the Storm, How to Journey in Faith Through Troubling Times. Today, we are looking at the most extensive and harrowing story in the Bible about someone on a ship caught in a storm. It's the story of Paul on his journey to Rome, a story with important messages for our own lives. Let's be for a moment in prayer. The Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Paul was on a ship bound for Rome. He was a prisoner upon the ship as he was to face trial in Rome on account of his missionary activities. We heard how he sailed from Jerusalem to a port on the coast of Asia Minor, present-day Turkey, where he was placed onto another ship bound for Rome. This was an Egyptian grain ship, the largest type of commercial vessel sailing on the Mediterranean at the time, with a cargo of wheat. A ship like this would also carry passengers. The passengers on this ship included a group of prisoners, among them Paul, a contingent of soldiers guarding the prisoners, a crew of sailors, plus some other passengers, among them Luke, the writer of the book of Acts. The ship, as we heard, had a rough time sailing, making slow progress with unfavorable winds, and finally managed to make it to Fair Havens, a harbor on the southern coast of Crete. By this point, our passage said, it was already past Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, which is in late September or October, which means it was getting into late fall, a dangerous time for sailing on the open waters of the Mediterranean. Our passage reported that Paul addressed the crew, saying, "Sirs, I can see that our voyage will be with much danger and much heavy loss, not only of the cargo and of the ship, but also of our lives." He recommended staying at Fair Havens. But the people operating the ship were not inclined to listen to this prisoner. They decided to make a run for Phoenix, a harbor further on westward in Crete, which would be a nicer place to spend the winter and a better launch point for carrying their cargo further on to Italy. In fact, if the weather held, they could manage to still make it to Rome in the late fall. Late fall deliveries of wheat in Rome brought a very nice price. Profit considerations likely played a part of the calculations here. Our passage reported that when a moderate south wind began to blow, they thought they could achieve their purpose. So they weighed anchor and began to sail past Crete, close to the shore. The voyage from Fair Havens to Phoenix should have taken a half a day. But suddenly, they were hit by a northeaster, not uncommon at this time of year, a strong wind blasting off the mountains of Crete, which rapidly blew them out into a raging sea. I'm reminded of the Gilligan's Island scenario, where what is supposed to be a nice little day trip turns into quite the adventure. In the case of Paul, the situation became extreme. The passage we heard describes several emergency measures that the crew took over a course of several days and finally concluded, "When neither sun nor stars appeared after many days, making navigation impossible, and no small tempest raged, all hope of our being saved was at last abandoned." At this point, Paul made a speech in which he said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have set sail from Crete." I'm not sure how popular that speech was, but at any rate, it was clear at this point that maybe they ought to start listening to Paul. He continued, "I urge you now to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For last night there stood by me an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I worship, and he said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before the emperor, and indeed, God has granted safety to all those who are sailing with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I've been told. But we will have to run aground on some island." A few weeks ago, we heard the story of the disciples with Jesus caught in a storm on the Sea of Galilee. The message that Jesus gave to them is now echoed in the message that Paul proclaims on the ship. Do not be afraid. Have faith, for God is with us, and God will bring us through the storm. It is a message that we each need to hear at times when we find ourselves in a storm in life. This does not mean, though, that the answer will be instantaneous or easy. Paul concluded by saying, we will have to run aground on some island, which indicates there would be some rough sailing ahead. We hear the rest of the story by picking up in Acts 27 from where we left off, beginning with verse 27. When the 14th night had come, as we were drifting across the Sea of Adria, that's what they called the middle of the Mediterranean, about midnight, the sailors suspected that they were nearing land. So they took soundings and found 20 fathoms. A little farther on, they took soundings again and found 15 fathoms. Fearing that we might run on the rocks, they let down four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. But when the sailors tried to escape from the ship and had lowered the boat into the sea, on the pretext of putting out anchors from the bow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the boat and set it adrift. They had a small boat on the ship they could use to travel to ashore or to travel from ship to ship. Here, the sailors attempted to use it to escape the ship so that they might make safely to land while the others on the ship could perish. Paul, with divinely inspired insight, perceived and foiled their plot. The story continues. Just before daybreak, Paul urged all of them to take some food, saying, today is the 14th day that you have been in suspense and remaining without food, having eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take some food, for it will help you to survive, for none of you will lose a hair from your heads. After he had said this, he broke bread, and giving thanks to God in the presence of all, he broke it and began to eat. Then all of them were encouraged and took food for themselves. We were in all 276 persons in the ship. For the first time, you get a sense of how many people were involved in this voyage. You might wonder, why had they not eaten anything for 14 days when clearly there was food on the ship? After all, they were carrying a cargo of wheat. But just imagine what it was like on an ancient sailing vessel on huge waves in the Mediterranean, and they had no seasickness pills. But now, with land approaching, Paul encouraged them to fortify themselves for what lay ahead. The story continues. After they had satisfied their hunger, they lightened the ship by throwing the wheat into the sea. There goes the ship owner's profit. They had earlier tossed other items of cargo overboard to enable the ship to ride a bit higher in the water. But now, finally, they tossed over the entire precious wheat cargo because they knew they were approaching shallow water, and they needed to get the ship riding as high as possible in order to clear enough ground as possible in order to hopefully make it to the shore. But it would not work. The story continues. In the morning, they did not recognize the land, but they noticed a bay with a beach on which they planned to run the ship ashore if they could. So they cast off the anchors and left them in the sea. At the same time, they loosened the ropes that held the steering oars, then hoisting the foresail to the wind, they made for the beach. You can see why they needed all those sailors to stay on the ship in order to carry out the complex maneuvers necessary in order to bring the boat to shore. Even then, it would not be easy, as the story reports. But striking a reef, they ran the ship aground. The bow stuck and remained immovable, but the stern was being broken up by the force of the waves. Nothing goes smooth on this voyage, and it gets worse. The soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners so that none might swim away and escape. According to Roman law, the soldiers could be held personally responsible if any prisoners escaped. So here, the soldiers aimed to protect themselves by just slaughtering all the prisoners. But the story continues, the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and make for the land, and the rest to follow, some on planks and others on pieces of the ship. And so it was that all were brought safely to land. Here God works through the good heart of a Roman centurion, and in the end, they all survive. It will turn out they had arrived on the island of Malta, a small speck in a vast sea. In its entirety, Acts chapter 27 recounts a most dramatic ancient sea voyage. Scholars have examined every aspect of this account, looking at the actions of the crew, the directions of the wind, calculating the likely speed of the ship, how it would have moved, and they have found that everything in this account corresponds precisely to what we know about ancient sailing and sea vessels and how a ship would have responded in these circumstances. But the story is not in the book of Acts just to give us an exciting historical tale. It tells us a great deal about faith and how we can safely navigate through a storm in life. As we've noted in this series, the storm has long been an image for the troubles that we face in life. We may find ourselves at times on stormy seas. And if we do, there are a number of aspects of Paul's voyage that likely correspond with our own experience. For us, as for Paul, the journey may be convoluted with all kinds of twists and turns, and our journey may be fraught with uncertainties and perils and one difficulty after another, sometimes with little sign of hope. But for Paul, the journey comes finally to a very good ending. Indeed, it is nothing short of miraculous. What are the odds that after weeks of being blown about in a tempest without navigation, these sea travelers would suddenly find themselves washing ashore on the one speck of ground that rises up out of thousands of square miles of open sea? And yet, they just happen to float up toward a beach on Malta. It's not hard to see the hand of God at work in this story. In all this, the story is a powerful illustration of how God works and what it means for us to have faith. Indeed, if we look closely at the faith of Paul in the story, in contrast to the attitude of others on the ship, we can see three hallmarks of the sort of faith that can carry each of us through a storm. The first key principle of faith illustrated in the story is listen to God instead of your fears. We saw how, as the storm worsened, people on the ship fell more and more into fear and despair, until at one point, Luke reports, all hope of their being saved was abandoned. Our troubles may seem at times to be overwhelming, and we can easily become dominated by fear. But Paul, in faith, directs his heart to God. And as he does, he hears from God a tremendous word of encouragement. When God speaks to Paul through the angel's first words to Paul are, "Do not be afraid." Listen to God, the angel is saying, not fear. The contrast between Paul listening to God and the others on the boat who are taking their cues from their fears is evident throughout the story. Early on in the story, when the boat was in the harbor at Fair Havens, the leaders on the ship were afraid of having to winter in a not-so-ideal place, although modern scholarship has shown that Fair Havens was at least suitable for wintering. And perhaps they were also afraid of financial loss if they did not get their cargo as soon as they could to market. Paul, in contrast, was taking his cue from God. And he warned them that it would be better if they all stayed put. But the captain of the ship followed his fears and set sail. Later in the story, as a storm-tossed ship approached Malta, the sailors were afraid that they would crash on the rocks at great risk to their own lives, so they were ready to flee the ship and just leave everybody else to their doom. They were taking their cue from their fears. Paul, in contrast, was attentive to God. He saw and foiled their plot. Throughout the story as a whole, as many on board were sinking into despondency, Paul, in faith, saw reason for hope. This then leads to the second principle of faith in the story, trust that God, not the storm, holds your future. This, of course, is not always easy. Imagine what it was like to be on that boat in a situation where things just kept getting bleaker day after day. We may have times in life when we cannot see past the storm, when everything only seems to be getting worse, and when the troubles of the present are compounded by the invisibility of the future. Paul, like the others, could not see past the storm, but he trusted that God held the future. And he had a particular conviction that God had a destiny for him in Rome. It was a trust well placed as God brought them through the storm into safety. This brings us to the third hallmark of faith in the story. As Paul trusts in God and listens to God, he acts for others instead of for himself. Nothing is more common in the course of the story of the sea voyage than people acting to save their own skin. The ship's captain, early on, put everyone at risk in order to potentially save as much profit as possible. The sailors, as we noted, were ready to abandon everybody else off of Malta in order to save themselves. And then the soldiers were ready to slaughter all the prisoners on the ship in order to save themselves the possibility of being charged for the prisoners' escape. Paul, in contrast, continually acts for the good of all, aiming to bring everyone safely through. When we find ourselves threatened in life, it is naturally to think foremost of our own well-being. But the Spirit of God turns our focus outward. Indeed, this is part of the transforming power of faith. When we have faith, then the storm in life becomes not a time of scrambling to save ourselves. It becomes an opportunity to reach out as a part of a larger purpose. This, in fact, is how the story of Paul's voyage through the storm concludes. You can find the conclusion in Acts 28. Having crash-landed on Malta, Paul and the others come into contact with the natives of Malta, who, upon hearing Paul proclaim the gospel, accept Christ as Savior. Today, the people of Malta, an island dotted with churches, trace their Christian faith back to that storm-tossed landing of Paul. Who would have guessed God's purpose in the storm, that the tempest would lead to the great result of a new people coming to faith? Today, we are in stormy times in many ways in life, but whenever we are, it is good to look for how God may be at work through us to bring about a greater purpose. So, the storm does not have the last word. Christ has the last word. Together with Paul, we can look to the Lord with faith and commitment, and so find courage and real hope. Let us pray. O Lord, when we find ourselves in the storms of life, inspire us to recognize that you are here with us. Your Spirit surrounds us today. You are here to uphold us and guide us, to lead us through the storm. Inspire us, Lord, as we would put our trust in you and as we find in you sure hope. And Lord, as we are sustained and empowered by your Spirit, move us to reach out to others who are struggling on the seas of life. We do pray for those who are sick. We remember those who've been in times of recent illness. And we thank you, Lord, we can share together as the family of God, your family in spirit. We pray your blessing upon our fellow United Methodists at the Rittman United Methodist Church. Guide us all, O Lord, as together we would follow you in faith and as we lift our hearts to you in commitment and praise. All those who pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the United Methodist Church of Kent Sermon Podcast. For more information about the church and to read Dr. Palmer's notes from the pastor blog with more about today's topic, visit www.kentmethodist.org.